Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 16th of January, recording at 9:01 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick review here. This is the day when Wall Street is closed for the Martin Luther King holiday. So less action than usual. But Asia, Japan's decline of 1.14% cost a bit of a pall over Asian activity. Nothing serious, though, in terms of dynamics. And even Japan, while I'm concerned about the lead indicator banks index still, which remains barely steady and actually looks like it might weaken, but my staunch colleague here, Will Chawner, who monitors Japan very closely, says it's going to push up fairly soon. If he's right, then that would give Japan, I think, another bit of a leg on the upside. And the TSE2 second section, another important lead indicator, is clear divergence there. That's continuing to hit new highs, if anything, beginning to accelerate a bit. That selling from Japan caused a bit of a pall over Europe early in the day, but then these markets have picked up and closed with reasonable gains near the higher side of the day. And what I notice also is that some of the resources leaders, Brazil and Canada, they've hit new highs in here again today and are really, really very firm. So I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't spill over into Australia tomorrow. Now, I said this was going to be highlights, but I'm really running through the main themes here, aren't I? Pretty much. In terms of currencies, that dollar is barely steady. It does look to me like it's going to break down out of this range once again, or if not, it's got to put in a pretty clear dynamic on the upside. And in metals, well, the futures markets in the U.S., of course, are closed. We've had the LME activity. Good gain in tin. That's been one of the highlights in here today. Nickel a little bit easier, copper a tiny bit easier, but that had a pretty good day on Friday. Gold, that's the main story here, the bullion price changing, trading rather, not the futures. And as I speak, gold's at 562.20, and it's really been around this level pretty much all day. That's at 485. So a very, very strong performance. And my goodness, have a look at the charts of gold versus all the different currencies in the library. And it's a stunning, stunning performance. Also, oil's very firm. And I'll be talking about that on CNN tomorrow morning. I think I've got an 8:30 Greenwich Mean Time recording time for that. I don't know if they'll be repeating that program, probably not, since it's a weekday report. I avoid the interviews like the plague these days, but particularly the television ones, because they just tend to be very, very short sound bites. But CNN sometimes produces a little bit better or a little bit longer interview. Hope so, at any rate. So they persuaded me to sacrifice some gym time and head on over to that, head on over to their studio tomorrow morning. Okay, what else to mention here? Again, energy. We've seen firmness in the London contract here today. I think it was up about 60 some cents on the day, with the help of that Nigerian news, and then the Iranian situation sort of edging its way towards the Security Council. So I think all this is just reminding people of how fragile the supply situation potentially is for oil, and that it's produced in parts of the world which are run by autocrats. And we also have the increased flexing of petro muscles in here, and some rewriting of contracts by some producers who can't believe their good fortune in seeing prices so high. So this is a tricky period here, needless to say, for oil importing countries. And well, I've said it before many times, but I think we're going to have to get used to it. Prices are going higher in here, and quite possibly a lot higher. I saw Tim Guinness briefly on television this morning, and he was saying that it wouldn't surprise him if oil moved above $80 and pretty well traded in that above that level for the next decade or so. Well, that would certainly wouldn't surprise me. And he also pointed out that oil isn't really that high when you adjust it for inflation and compare it with what we saw in parts of the 1970s and 1980s. And that's true as well. And you know what's going on. You know that countries really don't have any kind of, or oil importing countries don't have any really immediately effective energy policies to deal with the problem. There's lots of tinkering around the edges with windmills and synthetic fuels and so on. But basically, they've been hoping that big oil would be right in those rose-tinted forecasts, rose-tinted in terms of their contracts, that the oil price would fall back down, and that this would just be a cyclical problem. You know, governments are always crisis-oriented, and this hasn't become big enough a crisis to really trigger the sort of conservation efforts and particularly the substitute efforts that will eventually reduce dependency on oil. So we're going to have a real problem here of high oil prices for quite some time, and government's main policy, as I've said before, to deal with this will be just to print currency. And that creates, of course, a self-feeding, leapfrogging type of move, because the oil producers see that, one, they need not worry that they're killing off the market. And I think both big oil and governments have, Western oil importing governments have in the past run fairly successful campaigns in saying, look, you'll just hurt yourselves if oil prices stay this high, so you want to bring the price back down in all our interests. And they will see that the world can actually cope with higher oil prices, and they will also see that one of the ways that the world copes is to print more money, so that devalues the purchasing power of the petrol dollars, so the producers have every incentive of keeping oil prices up a bit higher than would otherwise be the case, which generates more printing of dollars and all other currencies. So isn't any wonder that precious metals are so strong? And resources, well, I estimate that they're probably 60% of my portfolio overall, both trading and investing, and it's likely to stay that way. And I think that's pretty much it, folks, except I'll say I've got a lot of new subscribers that have come in the last new subscriber in the last 6 weeks or so. New subscribers are always coming in, but we have had a bit of a surge, hopefully not a climactic acceleration in chart jargon. But a big welcome to you all. And there are a number of emails today, mostly emails in the comment of the day, which I haven't posted yet. And I would say, well, I'm delighted to see all of those, and I welcome the enthusiasm. But some of those questions you will find can be answered fairly readily by using the search facility. I know it does take a while to get used to the Fuller Money site and what's on it. But don't hesitate to use that search engine. And when you do use the search engine, keep it to a minimal number of words, because it does look for an exact replication of copy. And that's it, folks. So all the best.